561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Argyle at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you join us on the program today as we face the issues. We're dealing with a subject that I believe is relevant to the time in which we're living. We're dealing with a subject today that I believe every individual needs to have a clear understanding and grasp, that which is called the resurrection. We're talking about today, resurrection, the believer's greatest hope. Resurrection, the believer's greatest hope. Ladies and gentlemen, as we enter into the joy and the wonder of the Easter season, Resurrection Sunday is coming up soon. And as we think on the resurrection, we need to understand what it really connotes. What does it mean? How does it apply? How do we review it? How do we embrace it? What if there are those that disbelieve in the resurrection? Is it possible for a person to reject the resurrection and still be saved? What about the resurrection? Did Jesus Christ bodily raise from the dead? Or was it just a phantom? Was Jesus Christ truly the God-man, 100% God and 100% man? You see, in the Docetism, back centuries ago, back in the early time of the church, there were those that believed that Jesus really didn't have a human body. It was kind of a phantom body. It was a unreal, real body, if you can understand that mindset. And so therefore, there was a lot of subjectivity in relationship to Jesus' resurrection. And there are multitudes of false theories about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to understand today that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are hopeless, still dead in our trespasses and sins, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 and following. We need to rejoice each and every day and praise the Lord that we have the privilege of serving a risen Savior. And before we get into further dialogue and discussion, let me remind you, today only, for each one that calls in today and discusses, ask questions. The point is today's broadcast on the resurrection. So if you would focus your questions, your comments, dialogue, and discussion about the resurrection, your questions about it, your concerns about it, or what you've been taught in relationship to the resurrection, and let's work through the truth of what the Bible says. For each caller today, if you would leave your name and address with AJ, our call screener, we want to send you free, and we'll even pay the postage, one of my latest books called The Proof of the Resurrection. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Matthew 28:6. It's about 107 pages. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, tool book. It's very simply written. A major portion of it covers the seven serious myths in relationship to the resurrection. So keep in mind today, your calls, let's focus them on the resurrection. Easter, what does it mean? How do you celebrate it? What do you think is beneficial? What should we know about the resurrection of Jesus? Was it real? Was it unreal? Do you accept it? Can a person be saved and reject the resurrection? That's the serious aspects of the broadcast today that we invite you to join in, the dialogue and the discussion on it. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, each and every day. We do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, a declarative statement is made in the scripture about the Bible, about truth. John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we can count on and depend upon. And when we focus on the truth of the resurrection, we go back to the scripture, not what some philosopher says, not what some ancient writer said, not what someone might think as a theory or a philosophy, but what does the Bible say? The Bible should be the first, foremost, and final arbiter of truth, without any admixture, without any denominational dogma, simply what does the Bible say? That's what we're going to look at today as we're talking about this very serious subject. Resurrection, the believer's greatest hope. And we look at it from a truth standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, not what some want to bifurcate truth and say maybe truth, or as some of the millennials today say, that truth is, as each one sees it, there's an individual truth, that no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials say this, and pointedly, each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. I've said before, and may I, at the risk of redundancy, say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. We need to look at the truth book. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus was burned at the stake, even as he was dying, burning at the stake. Jan Hus says, "Truth shall prevail." And ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that I take today, and I pray that you do. Huss's famous words, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, is that we'd seek the truth, love it, learn it, live it, tell it, and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own lawn care or landscape business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, the power backup equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark identifier, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful, wonderful season, opportunity, time of the year, when we can celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I say that, I am pondering in my mind, how many listening today believe in the resurrection, that you've accepted the resurrection? Can you understand the resurrection? What does it mean? What is the purpose of the resurrection? What does it say to us today? I've had the privilege down through the years of doing dozens of funerals. And the most sad events I've witnessed in my life is to do the funeral for a person that has never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I'm persuaded, ladies and gentlemen, the saddest individual in the world is the person that has no hope, no hope. There are multitudes of people today, ladies and gentlemen, that's concerned about, and they feel hopeless about financial things. having financial problems. Some feel hopeless because of health problems. Some feel hopeless as a result of not just financial and health, but also family problems. There are a lot of people today that's living in a hopeless sense, that are hopeless. There are multitudes today that worry about dying with a sense of hopelessness, the sad state of being in that hopeless position. I have had the privilege of being in the funeral services of those that have loved ones that they know have said yes to Jesus Christ. There is a sadness, but not a hopelessness. The question to many today, what is it beyond the grave? What is it that lies beyond the veil of death? Will we ever see our loved one? Will we see that person again? Is there really life after death? Those are questions that are elicited from many that face the death of a loved one. Is there really a future resurrection, bodily resurrection for the child of God? Is there any such thing as real physical resurrection? For those that are in Christ, those that are not in Christ, is the resurrection real? How do we know? What does the Bible say? That's the final arbiter of what we'll talk about today. In the text of the scriptures found in 1 Corinthians, we find some of the greatest news, the good news, the grand news. The Corinthian believers, ladies and gentlemen, had been invaded by false teachers. The false teachers were causing the Corinthian believers to be confused as to what happens after you die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 58, is a classic biblical text. In fact, the greatest biblical text in all the scripture, with an entire encyclopedia, if you will, in those 58 verses about resurrection, about Christ's resurrection, about our future resurrection, and what the scripture says that should give us hope. So that's what we're talking about today. And I say we. I have Dr. Glenn Davis with me today. I'm always thankful to have him join with me as we talk about super biblical issues and theological doctrinal issues that I believe every Christian should be able to grasp and have a hold on, especially this subject today. Dr. Davis, thank you for driving in the rain, fighting the traffic to come to be with us today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. I just thank God for being able to arrive here safely. As we made the joke before the broadcast, I just about thought that I needed to take an inner tube and float down 295 to make it here. It was so wet and so bad in so many different areas, but still yet I realized I came by way of prayer.
Amen.
I came knowing and trusting and believing that God would get me here.
Amen.
And that God, He is. He exists. He's real.
That's right.
And that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
So this is why I thank God today. And again, I want to say good morning to my bride of now 38 years. Good morning. Love you so much, honey. Amen. And all of my family and friends that are listening on today, all of you, amen, that are here. We hope that we can say something that will maybe reignite the flame within
Amen.
Your faith.
Amen. That's right.
Because beginning this week, and it always is like this with me every year, beginning this week on what we call Palm Sunday, when we celebrate that Christ rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey.
That's right.
And they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When we look at all of these celebrations that will take place throughout, starting this Sunday, and going into next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, my wife's birthday also, happy birthday.
Amen.
Amen. But, Dr. Youngblood, I think we as Christians, all Christians, everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice, you ought to really take advantage of this celebration.
Amen.
That we have. Because when we look at the pagan world, how they celebrate Halloween and all those other celebrations, when it's all over, they leave and go away empty. As you said.
Yes.
But we as Christians can go away full. Our fire can be rekindled within our faith each and every time, most especially at this time, because it represents to us the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior.
Yes.
And He's not dead.
He's alive.
He's yet alive. Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. How I know I can feel Him in my hands. I can feel Him in my feet.
Amen.
I can feel Him all over me.
Amen.
He is alive.
That's right.
And this is what should be more important to Christians right now. So listen, once again, I mean, when they celebrate Halloween, especially that one.
Yeah.
That's the one that irks me the most.
It's the most wicked one out there.
Because they want to celebrate dead things that don't represent life. And anything pertaining to the cross and Jesus Christ, they have a problem with it. I mean, they start complaining. You know, they want to fuss and fight. But yet and still, they want us to sit patiently while they celebrate dead things.
They're pagan days. Pagan days.
Witchcraft. Mm-hmm. These different kind of things like that.
Yeah.
So now it's my turn.
That's right.
You get to sit and watch me praise my Savior.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Now, this is the reason why I say Christians everywhere, let's get together and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when he got up from the grave, that was our guarantee that we're also going to be raised in the likeness of his death. But we have to trust and believe in God to do it like he said, because his word is true.
Absolutely.
And we're going to go through this in a little bit. I got some scripture picked
Amen.
Out here.
Amen.
That's so relevant.
Wonderful. Yes, absolutely.
To what we're talking about on today that will hopefully do something for your faith on today.
Yes, yes.
So keep listening as
Amen.
We go through the broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was about to forget to remind you, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Number one, I want to congratulate my brother that just got through talking.
It's stirred up.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Well, number one, happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you so much, Brother Kenneth. Thank you so much.
Okay. But what I wanted to say, Constantine made Easter. We're really the goddess of Easter. It's not resurrection. That's why Christ had to come to do what he did, because they were bearing bulls, calves, or whatever. But really, it was Passover. It's not Easter. That's because that's the goddess Easter, should I say it like that. And if I'm wrong, let me know. But I don't call it Easter.
Well, many people, Kenneth, do the same thing. I'm going to let Dr. Davis respond to that, but I let him respond, and then I can jump in. Pastor Davis, there are a lot of people that say, it's not Easter, it is Resurrection Sunday. Well, it's both. Now, why is that so?
Well, basically, when we look at Easter, we understand, you know, Easter within itself is only mentioned. That word only appears one time in the whole Bible. That's in the book of Acts.
That's right.
We know that that was supposed to be connected to a pagan holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. But yet, when we look at the key word that comes from that, it comes from yeast. Yeast, when you look at yeast, is the agent that you put into dough to make it rise.
To make it rise.
So, Easter is just another form of the word yeast. Again, it's derived from that word. So then we tie that in and make it significant with the fact that our Savior rose from the dead, not by any agent.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about anything being mixed into
right.
the equation,
but
God
rose.
Himself.
But he rose.
We can always find a but God story.
That's right.
So this is the reason why we take it as Easter. We're not talking about the Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about eggs or the Easter basket.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that the egg represents a sealed tomb. I haven't found that in the scripture yet. Let's make sure that we keep it in connection with scripture so that we don't take it out of context. You beat that into us in this university, context, context, context.
Right.
And it's very important. I found that to be very important even through many of my studies in other areas of scripture. Because sometimes we can get one thing out of line and it'll throw it all out of line and you will never get the correct understanding the way that you should. Now, Passover did happen back in the Old Testament, and we know that Orthodox Jews and others connect Passover with the events that are happening right now, because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb that they had to sacrifice.
He became the Passover lamb, yes.
So let's make sure we understand that the two are connected. But to New Testament Christians, New Testament, that's the key, we're not celebrating Passover because we don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore.
Jesus was our sacrifice.
The sacrifice has already been made
already been
to
made.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's why We say we connect ourselves with Easter.
Absolutely.
Through the explanation of the way I did. I'm not going back through it again. Mm-hmm. But again, that's the reason why we tie that with what we know that our Savior did when he got up from the dead on Easter.
Well, you see,
and we call it Easter morning.
Yeah. What Kenneth is talking about, too, Dr. Davis, we have a lot of people today that want to distract from, for example, when it comes to Christmas. We celebrate Christmas December the 25th. You have a lot of people out there that said, no, it wasn't. His birth was really up in March or April, but we just celebrated on the 25th. I don't care what month it was. He was born and changed the calendar for all time and eternity. And just as with now, there are a lot of people that will say, well, Easter is a pagan work, a pagan holiday. I'm not criticizing Kenneth for asking that question. That's not the point. But we need to separate fact from fiction. We need to go back to it is Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter because that is the date, the time, and the place on the calendar. And we're not going to try to split hairs. Was it Easter or was it no, it's resurrection of Christ. He bodily arose from the grave, physically, literally, rose from the grave.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, when you look at other faiths, I mean, I think it's Roman Catholicism, say that the death, the crucifixion, took place on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's many other things. And we're not going to go through that. We're not trying to fight, you know, make a fight out of this mm-hmm. on the broadcast. We want to celebrate our Savior today.
And many of them will say the crucifixion is on Wednesday because they don't understand the 3 days and three nights in the tomb.
But according to Christian belief, we believe
mm-hmm.
that he died on Friday, stayed there all day and night Friday, mm-hmm. all day and all night Saturday, but early Sunday morning.
Amen. Up from the grave he arose.
Amen. Praise God. So that's the thing which should make us rejoice.
Absolutely. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, your comment, insight.
Thank you. I'm telling you. Okay. He was the sacrifice for everybody and everyone. That's
right.
The only thing I was thinking.
Amen.
Because Constantine said, you know, he tried to change all the religious holidays so Rome could celebrate. But they were pagan holidays, should I say it like that. And I leave it alone. And I get off the air.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, brother, thank you so much for calling. We need to keep looking
thank
up. We serve
King.
A risen Savior, and I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking about resurrection, the believer's greatest hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
Amen.
The scripture is absolutely correct without any additive or admixture or change. False teachers had come into the church at Corinth during the first century church. They had planted all kinds of false doctrinal seeds. And as a result of that, some of the things that we hear questions about even today about Easter and the celebration are the outgrowth of some of those false teachings and theories. Some of the cults and false religions teach a whole variety of false doctrines, false theories in relationship to the resurrection. I'm going to touch on two or three of these, Dr. Davis, and then we'll take our next caller. Some of the things, and by the way, it's found in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection. On the back of the book, even, it lists the seven major theories about the resurrection. For example, the swoon theory, the wrong tomb theory, the hallucination theory, the stolen body theory, the substitution theory, the temporary tomb theory, the legend theory. And each of those, we'll take a moment on the broadcast today and explain it very briefly. In my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, we have all of the theories outlined, the source, the background of them. And we need to recognize what the false teachings are in order to understand what the truth of the Word of God says. Regardless of what the theories say, we need to depend on the truth, the doctrinal truth of the Scripture. For example, in the swoon theory, the false teachers say that Jesus did not really die, that he just swooned. He fainted, if you will. And when they placed his body in the cold, dark tomb, he revived, stood up, moved the stone away, rolled the stone away, and walked out. That's the swoon theory. You have then the hallucination theory. His disciples were so upset and so distressed because Jesus Christ had been crucified that they simply hallucinated. They made a mistake. They didn't really know what tomb he was in. Well, if that's the case where the scripture talks about a group at one time saw Jesus physically, 500 at one time. So apparently that meant that 500 had hallucinations simultaneously. There's Amen. There's a real problem with that.
That's a pretty strong drink.
That's right. They had a pretty strong drink. And then you have the wrong tomb theory. His disciples just went to the wrong tomb, found it empty, and believed that Jesus Christ had arisen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's seven of them. We'll touch on them throughout this broadcast today. But the major thing is we have the classic text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 verses. We do not have time. If we had a week, an hour each day, we wouldn't have enough time to cover the 58 verses. But it's the classic text in all of the Bible covering every aspect of resurrection. So let me just touch on this, and then we'll take our next caller. Dr. Davis, it's not just the Christians that will rise again. The scripture is very, very clear. The rapture, for example, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in there to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort you one another. When you study the scripture, you find the Christians will be resurrected. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the lost people will be resurrected. But there is eternal life, hear me, eternal life for every human being. Eternal life in that place called heaven for those that have said yes to Jesus. Eternal hell for those that have rejected the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to understand that. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Hello to the two of you. This is Terry.
Hey, Terry. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know all the deepness of it, but the resurrection means to me the day that I was born, because he had already arisen. And he placed me in my mother's womb, and he kept me alive. And every gift and an anointing that he gave me was in me then, for such a time as this. And I thank God, because I could have been dead. But to me, I thank him, because that his resurrection and his blood is going to keep me till I go home. And I believe that I will be in the presence of the Lord.
And Amen. Well, Terry, that's as a result of saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to hear that you have done that. And may I ask a question? I'm trying to put you on the spot.
No.
Is it possible, and I want our listeners to understand this question, is it possible for an individual to reject the resurrection, to disbelieve the physical bodily resurrection, and still be saved? Can you be saved and reject the resurrection? What is your thought? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think so.
Well, for Romans chapter, what is it? Chapter 10, verse 9, 10, 11. It is very, very clear that if you believe in our heart and confess with thy mouth that Amen. The Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we have to believe, that is faithing. We have to faith in our hearts, believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. We have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God hath raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection.
Right.
It's an impossibility for a person to reject the resurrection and say, I'm saved. Part and parcel of the faith factor in believing unto salvation is to believe that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. And all of that spelled out in wonderful detail in the four Gospels, in the death, burial, and resurrection. But the classic text in all of the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I commend those 58 verses to you and to all of our listeners today. But thank you so much for your call, and I pray that you'll have a blessed holiday called Easter, the Resurrection Sunday that's coming up. Terry, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please. Hello?
Hello.
I thought we had
Dr. Youngblood.
If you will hang on right after the news, we'll come back to you. Hang on for about a minute because we've got the top of the hour news break, and then we'll come back and you hold and we'll answer your questions and comments then. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.